Thank you, Beverly. Far too generous. Thank you so much. Rice, George Ann, thank you all for inviting me to be able to share with you guys. You know, guys, let me give you a fair warning here. Those of you that have heard me teach before, now that I've learned a little bit of technology, and I emphasize a little bit, I'll use a keynote. And because of that, I sometimes have a lot of information there. I do not expect you to soak all that in. All I want you to do, take a picture of the frame and go back and look at the scriptures. I'm going to have a conversation with you, but hopefully these will be the things that'll feed your soul and lead you into the area of servant leadership that God is where he is trying to take you. I want you to picture this. Some of these scriptures I'll read, some I may refer to, some I may paraphrase. So like I said, please just write it down and make sure you can go back and meditate on this. But I want to pick up at a moment here in Jesus' history in Mark 10. I will read this. And I want you to think about this. Right in the middle of his ministry, Jesus has chosen these disciples to follow him. And we see that these 12 of these, or I should say 11 of these, will become the apostles that'll help direct the early church after Jesus has gone back to the right hand of the Father and the Holy Spirit has come. These 11 are going to provide a lot of leadership and direction for God's church. And yet, as with all humans, things start happening among this group of potential and future leaders that Jesus is going to set the record straight. Picking up there in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I want to read the last scripture again. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." All of us fight the battle of opening our eyes. All of us daily face the struggle to be able to view life the way that God sees it, his reality, rather than the reality of oppression, the reality of sin, the reality of betrayal, of lies, of everything that's right in front of us. And the prayer still remains, open their eyes. And for all of us that have been given a gift of leadership, that is the task. We've got to be there to continue to pray and be part of the process of opening our own eyes, but also helping our brothers and sisters to open their eyes to God's reality in their life. I want to start off by talking about what servant leadership is not. Now, Jesus contrasted there with those disciples. You know, the 10 saw John and James playing a political maneuver here. They're trying to get access to be more dominant. So, you know, they're upset. Oh, my goodness. You know, we're going to see about this. Let's have a contest. Who's going to be the preeminent? No. Jesus calls them aside, and he's going to let them know what leadership is not. Number one, it is not the means of drawing attention to yourself. Secular leadership is, yeah, man, you know, look at me. You know, it's about me being dominant and me being famous and me being lauded and thanked and praised. Servant leadership is not a means of drawing attention to myself. Secondly, it's not a pathway to personal success. I want to feel successful. Therefore, let me get in leadership, because leadership, again, very visible. So a lot of people will give me a lot of great feedback, and man, I'm going to feel successful. That's not it. In fact, you'll find that doesn't happen. Some of the things people want doesn't happen when they get in leadership, but it's not a pathway to personal success. And thirdly, it is not an access to power. That's the way of the Gentiles. That's the way of the secular. That's the way of all of that. Not so with you, says our master. What is servant leadership? There are two things I'm going to focus on today. I'm sure you guys could probably go and extrapolate and do a lot more, but in time I have two things. First of all, servant leadership is a matter of focus. And what is that focus on? It's on the needs of God's people. Servant leadership is all about focusing on the needs of God's people. There is the need. And I do want us to go and read this scripture. That's Ephesians chapter 4. If I'm going to lead in God's kingdom in any capacity, you know, whether I'm leading a small group of people, whether I'm leading several people, doesn't matter. Anything, what is the need, the primary need of all? If I miss this, I miss the whole point of servant leadership. In Ephesians 4 and in chapter 11, Paul says, it was he, that's Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And here we go, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What is the primary need of God's people? It is that they would be built up, that they would all come to reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Jesus, the Son of God, and that they would become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The life of a Christian is characterized by transformation into the image of God, image of Jesus. That's what our life is all about. Everything we do, we're part of God's renewal now. One day when Jesus comes back, we will be raised from the dead. We will be clothed with a resurrected body, a perfected body, a completed of everything that we started now as we were being transformed into the character of Christ. We will be perfected.